Liverpool's Royal Birkdale Golf Club hosts the 154th Open Championship this week.
Champion golfer for the year with a score of 275, Tom Watson.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague with Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague. Open Championship Week on the Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
I own it all.
We got a lot to get to in hour number three. The college football debate continued into the commercial break. We're still yelling about coaches.
I wouldn't say we're yelling.
No, yelling. I'm just having fun. Somebody texted in, Simple Dirt will never give Mario full credit for anything, which is funny because I actually feel like I'm being very complimentary of Mario. I don't feel like I'm being critical of him. I don't know. Maybe we're arguing different things here, but I think I've kind of – him going to a national championship, I have to reassess because I've had a lot of the same questions and concerns from when he was my coach and when he left. Yeah. And then when the way things started at Miami of running the ball when he could have taken a knee and the struggles and the like, dude, I was the first one to point and poke and laugh and ha, ha, ha. But when there's evidence of you getting to a national championship game, what is my argument going to be? Now, I don't know if that's going to be every year, and I don't know if that is, you know, a regular occurrence. I have no clue. But when you get to a national championship game, and this is maybe where you and I disagree, like that, there's a reevaluation process for me of, I don't know how I feel about you winning at the highest level in the sport, and then you damn near won at the highest level of the sport.
Yeah.
And so how do I still have that opinion about you? I think it's fair to still have the question of, will he drop a game or two? He shouldn't.
Sure.
But they showed last year that it doesn't matter, that they can do that and still go on a run in the playoff.
Yeah, right.
And you're, we're only going to expand the playoff, so he can still lose two to get three games every year.
Well, your soul searching is where you're left doing, right?
Yes.
Like, you're looking at everything, you're trying to evaluate, recalibrate how to view this guy or that guy. Like, it's funny that, for some people, last year what Mario did has the position or opinion of, oh, here we go. He's gotten the Jimmys and the Joes. Now we've shown the pedigree to get there. He's going to win one. We have another coach that won it the year prior. And I think, weirdly, I do. I think a lot of people in the college football world don't
still view him as one of the top. He doesn't get credit for it.
No.
Yeah.
Ryan Day won the national championship.
He did.
After having a disastrous, by their measure, season, right?
Didn't go to the conference championship game, lost to your rival, horrible year in their standards.
And they go on a run, and they do it. And we go into last year, we're like, he's got pierced nipples. This guy ain't. He still ain't it. Mario loses in the title game, and we're recalibrating how to feel. Look, I'm not saying you shouldn't give guys credit. You always got to give flowers to people that either win the title or get to a championship. It's not easy. But I also think sometimes we weigh to sway the other way based on the final results of stuff. Now, I'm not telling you Mario isn't a top 10 coach in college football. I will absolutely give him that credit, and a credit to him for what they did last year.
Right.
I don't know, man. I didn't think A&M was world beaters.
No. They had their faults and their weaknesses, no doubt.
Pretty
but they
sure
had to go on the road and win the game.
I picked him to beat A&M, so yeah, that I was thought a trendy they were going to win.
Not many people, if at all, picked them to beat Ohio State.
No, and that was certainly like, that was whoa, the game. How about that? But then also, like, did you love Ohio State last year the way that we have in other seasons?
But so, it's still Ohio State.
Exactly, to your point. You beat Ole Miss, and I didn't know. Well, like, Ole Miss was a good win, but it was Pete Golding. You beat Pete Golding.
Maybe he's better than Lane Kiffin. We don't know yet.
He worked for Lane Kiffin.
We have no idea.
That's the guy that worked for Lane Kiffin.
This is a great. I'm going to put this up as a poll question.
Like, are you really changing all of how you feel about Mario getting to the title game? I give him his credit. I actually commend the way he's built Miami.
I think you're poo-pooing it. I'm getting a sense of a poo-poo right now.
I'm not going into the regular season suddenly going, well, like, I think Notre Dame's going to beat them.
They very well could. It might not matter.
So what's that going to say? Marcus Freeman has the power rank. Like, we're just going to keep doing this power rank coach thing based on just every result of every game?
So I'm gonna put this up as a poll question, and let me know if this phrasing is correct, okay?
All right.
Do you change your opinion on a coach if they reach the national championship game?
Yeah, I think that's right.
So basically, I would say I do, But I understand a lot of the argument that you're making, and some of my change stance on coaches then needs to still be verified, if that makes sense. Like, what you did last year was great, and that was, oh my God, you got into the playoff, you made it all the way to the national title. How about, you damn near won the thing. How about that? If you come out and go 9-3 this year with Darian Mensa as your quarterback, and you don't get to the ACC title game again, and you miss out on the college football playoff, then by all means, I'll say, yeah, that looks more like an outlier. It's more about...
So what do you do about Marcus Freeman? He was in it 2 years ago, didn't make the playoff.
He did not make the playoff.
I'm not out on Marcus Freeman.
It's not about... And that's where it's like, it's not about,
okay,
like,
not
I'm firing
out.
Him in or out.
Sure.
It's just about... There was legitimate questions, and for a lot of the reasoning being valid because of things he did as a coach about, can Mario do it? And that's where, to me, I have said, I have to at least acknowledge that he can, because he damn near did it. And well, if you come that close to doing it, because we've had legitimate debates.
We live in
debates.
A world now in sports where athletes and coaches cannot be clearly defined until a certain point of their lives, yeah. Right? Like Sam Darnold winning the Super Bowl, which is everybody touting that, like where he was 4 years ago and him winning and being the quarterback that hoists Lombardi, you have to reconsider or be open to the idea. Whereas barring 41, 42-year-old LeBron James saving something, I know what James Harden is in the playoffs.
Right.
I have enough of a sample size to conclude and define.
It's not been good.
What if he wins a ring like T-Mac did with the Spurs, which nobody remembers, then sure, so be it. I will say, oh, he got an NBA championship, but yeah, he wasn't the lead of that run.
Right.
Coaches are no different, I guess, in this regard. Out is a bit extreme to your point, but like...
Yeah, it's not like I'm going to fire Marcus Freeman for going 10-2, but there was the same thing about Freeman a little bit, because remember, before they had reached a national championship game, they lost a game that's one of the most inexcusable losses.
Yes, they did.
And bad losses I've seen in the last 15 years of college football. Like,
yes,
that
they
should
did.
Never happen. They lost at home, and then they ran the table, and they made it all the way there. But when he lost that game, those questions were there for him of, like, is this guy in over his skis? Remember the Ohio State stuff of the 10 men on the field on multiple plays late in the game? They lose at home to Ohio State. That was a devastating loss. And so there were a lot of criticisms, and I do think for some, maybe not all, that him going on that run in the playoff, beating Georgia, getting to that moment opened a lot of eyes of like, oh, okay, this guy clearly could do it. He has the chops at the highest level of the sport. Now, they missed out last year, but they're still one of the best programs in the sport. So I'm not saying a 10-2 year or a 9-3 year will make me go, Mario Cristobal's back to sucking. I just think when you had questions about a guy winning at the highest level of the sport, I think landing is this way for a lot of people, to be honest with you. Like, if you're not an Oregon fan and you like poking fun at Oregon, that is a narrative that is out there about him. And if he makes the national championship game this year, will it change the narrative for him?
I think it'll help change some of the narrative. I don't know if he loses in the title game, people are going to say, oh.
He could get there, but he can't win the big one. The biggest one. He can win big ones, but not the one.
For a lot of people, Dirt, yeah, until you do it. I mean, even when you win it, you don't always get the credit. We talked about Cignetti and Indiana, and you're like, are they going to not be 8-4? And I'm like, that seems like a bit of a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they will one day. Who knows? But right now, my evidence is the guy wins. Google him.
Yeah, everywhere he's been.
He's lost 2 times in Indiana in 2 years, and he has a national championship. So I think it's just all about how you view individuals and how much stock you're willing to put in. Hey, they had a really damn good season. Getting to a title game, even when you lose and it's devastating, nobody's arguing. Like, that's an unbelievable year for Mario Cristobal in Miami.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of coaches that, if they get there, it does change the narrative. It's certainly going to help your narrative of Dan Lanning if they get to the title game.
Without a doubt.
Even
but
if
is
they
it
lose, you're not going to say, well, it's impossible for him to win it. You're going to more argue the other side of, like, he just got to the title game. Why can't we not say he can get to there again and win it?
That's kind of my point on guys like Mario and Marcus Freeman, and I think they're a little bit different because Mario had a longer track record of falling short. But the idea of if you can get there, I have to then go to a place mentally where you can win a national championship.
See, I think Mario
because
and Marcus
you're one
Freeman,
game away.
I think they make people feel the exact same way.
Really?
You might like Freeman more if you're a Notre Dame fan. You might like Mario more if you're a Miami fan.
He doesn't have as much scar tissue just because he hasn't been
he's
a coach
he's younger,
as long.
Yeah,
it doesn't as many years.
Yeah. I kind of view him similar.
It's fine. Look, college football's around the corner. I can't wait. I am so excited for the season to get here. I think it's going to be another fun, competitive season. I'm going to throw a couple of random names at you and ask, is there anything there? Because we're just sticking in the ACC a little bit. Their media days are going on. We will get, by the way, Big Ten media days next week, which should be a lot of fun.
Yep.
More interesting quarterback storyline for you in the ACC. Projected starters. Is it the younger brother, the smaller Mendoza, Alberto Mendoza, who is at, do you remember where he transferred?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Georgia Tech.
Absolutely. Haynes King's replacement.
He backed up his big bro at Indiana last year.
They did not want to keep him.
They wanted to move on to a guy who was more prepared. They thought, and they got the furry. Hoover is there.
They
and
did.
He, you know, maybe yeah. his furry butt's going to win a Heisman.
Yep.
And Mendoza ended up at Georgia Tech, where you mentioned Haynes King was a transfer and ended up having a nice run there at Georgia Tech in their offense. I don't know how athletic Alberto Mendoza is, but he's at Georgia Tech. And talk about programs who have been good and punching a little bit above their weight class. Georgia Tech's become a very respectable program. Brent Key, run the ball. Or Missouri transfer / Penn State transfer, now on his third team, Bo Pribula, who had 11 touchdowns and 9 picks as the starter at Missouri for the team who finished technically in first place in the regular season ACC standings last year, Virginia. He is their starting quarterback.
Yeah, I'm going to roll the dice on the Mendoza I've never seen.
Over Bo Pribula.
I've watched Bo Pribula. And it's not that he can't be different, but I just don't
He was
feel
not great,
great
last
in
year.
It.
Remember, he was at Penn State, and then they Aller came back for another year, and he ended up transferring.
Yeah, because he filled in for Aller in a bowl game, right?
He did, in his freshman season, I believe, if
and
I'm not wrong.
Like, oh, he's going to be it. And then Aller came back, and he went, no, I don't want to wait again.
He was
play.
The next in line, went to Missouri, and it was like, here we go. And it was 11 touchdowns, 9 picks. Now, he did get hurt, to his credit. To defend his numbers a little bit. He did not play their entire season. He had a pretty gruesome injury and then somehow was back like 3 weeks later playing. A lot of big numbers against bad opponents, and then you look at the bigger teams that they played, Auburn, Alabama, and Oklahoma smoked them. It was pretty rough in those ones. But again, it's just the idea of like nobody saw Virginia coming last year, and now he's their starter. And what Mendoza's younger brother does at Georgia Tech is an interesting storyline for me.
I don't know how to gauge some of the teams in the ACC. Like, there's a lot of questions. Like, what is your honest-to-God win-loss expectation with Franklin at Virginia Tech? You know what I mean? Like, I don't have those answers yet. I haven't thought about it enough. I will say, in the conference Power 4 dynamic of stuff, I think they lack the juice the most.
More than the Big 12, huh?
At least I got the Sorsby stuff now, so I have one team against its entire conference.
There is that.
Dillingham is there. You know, BYU might not be the sexiest team, and Satake is not the most outgoing of personalities publicly.
Yeah.
But there's just something, at least about that, primes in that conference. The ACC, to your point, it just feels so much like Mario and others.
Yeah. And maybe that's not the case this year. Maybe it's Clemson. Maybe
it's Belichick.
You know,
this should be a bigger conversation.
Well, Belichick was a storyline a year ago, and then it went so disastrously bad that I think everybody realized, why would we waste any time talking
about
that?
They have Dabo.
They do have Dabo.
Norvell.
Yeah. Who is more?
Conference just lacks juice.
What percentage chances would we put on Dabo and Mike Norvell not being the head coaches at Clemson and Florida State a year from now? Because it does seem like that's boiling over at Clemson, does it not?
Well, I think Norvell is cooked. If they're like 7 or less wins, I think he's cooked.
Where did they go last year? Was it 3-9?
I can't. He kept touting how many one-loss scores.
Well, they beat Alabama early, and it was like, oh, here comes Florida State.
How many one-loss score games they had last year? Like, he was touting that a couple times.
5-7. They started 3-0 and ended the season 2-7 in their last
4
nine
of
games.
His 6 seasons, Dirt, are losing seasons.
That's not good,
at
man.
At Florida State, what he did? He came in, and he said the whole, the circumstances we got here, there's some worse things than we thought. He used the Jimbo out at his media day, and I thought, oh.
I mean, look, back to when we took over nearly a decade ago, it's been an uphill battle, okay? I've only been in charge of this thing for 5 years.
The combination package of Dabo and Norvell being gone percentage-wise, I'd put it at like a 47% chance.
Yeah. Clemson, another year of them missing the playoff, and they got a new starting quarterback this year. They're not a sexy team coming into the year like they were a year ago. It's going to be an under-the-radar team. Maybe this Vezina kid is their answer at quarterback, and he ends up having a good year. He's been waiting for like 3 years for his opportunity there.
So we've reached the point where a 2-time national championship-winning coach, his program now is under the radar?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, in terms of like nobody expecting anything out of him this
year. That's what I'm at, yeah.
Is anybody picking Clemson to do anything this year?
Why shouldn't they be in consideration?
Because of how bad they were last year.
I know, and not in the sense of like I'm trying to make a point that they should be. I find it hilarious that we've got to that point with Dabo at Clemson.
It is pretty remarkable, man. They started the year 1-3 last year with losses to LSU, Georgia Tech, and Syracuse.
Remember that one game at home against the know-nothing team. They were in a dogfight in that game. Like,
yeah, Troy. They played Troy in week two. They were in a dogfight against Troy. They lost by double digits to SMU. Duke beat them.
They were an embarrassment.
Their wins at the end of the year, I mean, South Carolina was a dumpster. They ended up going 7-5. If you go 7-5 or worse again at Clemson, I don't understand how he sticks around it. I just don't understand. How could you excuse that when there's that much of a sample size? The national championships, like, I'm going through this a little bit as a baseball fan. The Giants haven't won a postseason series since their last world championship in 2014. That's the last time they won one. That was a long time ago. Now, yeah. I don't complain about it a ton because I got three titles out of it. But this, like, at some point, the statute of limitations runs out, and you're not just going to get a pass from the fan base of like, well, that was great that they won those championships. That was fun. Mm-hmm. It's a long time ago. And if you're competitive, Georgia fan maybe has this little murmur behind the scenes of like, why can't we win a playoff game? But you're in the playoff and winning the conference every year. Like, at some point, you're going to break through and do it again. Kirby's a good enough coach. He has you in the dance every year. It will happen again. Clemson's been in the dance one other time recently, 2 years ago. They lost to Texas. That was the end of their run. And it just, last year was such a dumpster, and the other years have been so bad, I don't see how he sticks around. One other quick college football note that I found hilarious and one of the most obvious things that we all could have predicted.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Ken Paxton, who is currently the attorney general...
The guy running for Senate?
He's running for Senate in Texas, yeah.
Let's talk about faith and family as he's caught on vacation with his mistress.
That's all that matters to him, faith and family, right? He's a big religious guy.
I love good morals.
You just cheat on your wife, no big deal. He threatened to sue the Big 12 as the AG of Texas.
Yep.
If the Big 12 sanctioned Texas Tech for putting Brendan Sorsby on the field, that was that big debate. And then there was other counter lawsuits threatened of like, well, we'll sue you, we'll sue you. Well, it came out the day before. I mean, who could have seen this coming? Randomly, Cody Campbell, the big booster at Texas Tech, just happened to. I'm sure
he needs to save the College Football Act.
It was just an accident that it happened to have been the day before he donated $275,000 to support Ken Paxton, Texas Senate bid.
Ooh.
And literally the next day, there was a lawsuit threatened from the Attorney General of Texas to sue the Big 12. And I don't know about you, Bob. I'm not very smart. That reeks of a bribe.
What?
No,
it's a coincidence. He's supporting a political figure.
Cody Campbell just cares about the health of college athletics, though, and making sure everything's on the up and up. Can we pass this act already? All right, let me donate $275,000 to the Attorney General's Senate campaign so he'll sue the conference on my behalf.
I don't know if there was anything more insulting than Cody Campbell saying the rest of the conference needs to get their act together. And other people going,
come on, West Virginia, where's all that coal money, huh? Yeah. You poor bastards.
Where's Zoolander when you need him?
Spend $40 million on a roster, you bum. There is your college football conversation.
What a corrupt-ass world we live in, dude.
Things are going great right now.
Here's $200K threatened to sue an entire conference on behalf of me and my university.
I'll donate to your Senate campaign. Let's jump into the NFL. I got a couple of tidbits out of the NFL. Don't forget the Magic Act coming up at the top of the hour. We'll give you a check-in on the Open Championship. Some big names out on the course here later in the morning. Just getting the rounds underway. So I'll give you a score update in a little bit into the NFL next. 105.1 FM, The Fam. All right, welcome back in. We'll give you an update on the Open Championship coming up in a bit. A little more World Cup talk after that great Argentina-England game yesterday. Are we excited for the final on Sunday? All that is still to come on the show. One thought on YouTube said, is Dirt not a fan of the Save College Sports Act anymore? I knew he'd come around eventually. It's a pretty terrible piece of legislation. Look, I certainly understand the criticisms of it. What I would maintain, and by the way, there's an update on that today for those who care. Ross Dellinger is reporting that they are taking a heightened seriousness or whatever phrasing you want to use. They're trying to kick it in overdrive. And Ted Cruz said it might be on the floor of the Senate at some point by next week. So they're still tweaking it. They're still working with the other conferences. It has not gone away. There's a lot of bad stuff in there, and I've always acknowledged that. I think it's just a question of, do you want something or do you want nothing? Because the alternative is collective bargaining, and guess what's never going to happen in college athletics? Collective bargaining. It's just not. That's the best way to fix all of this, but it's not going to happen. So I'm still for it, kind of. I also have always understood the criticisms of it. I'm just like, there are a lot of broken things in college athletics that I would like to see attempted to be fixed. I haven't read through all the nitty-gritty of the new phrasing in the bill and the revising it constantly. So I haven't dove into enough of the revisions yet. Mm. But it's coming to the floor potentially next week for another vote. So just buckle up for that, because that conversation will come back to the forefront. Not going anywhere.
Yeah.
How about this one? The Super Bowl next year. is February 14th, 2027.
That in LA. In LA, on ESPN.
We plan on being there. Who said that?
Oh.
I believe that was Brian Schottenheimer.
Correct, you are.
Ah, how about them Cowboys?
The head coach of the Dallas Cowboys on the Twins Take podcast. Big fan of it.
Twin Takes?
I guess.
Twins Take?
Twins Take.
Is that Tiki Barber and his brother Rondé?
Oh, is it? Do they have a podcast together?
You said Twins.
I'm trying to think.
That's not a bad call.
One of the McCourties.
That's a good question.
McCourties. I bet you the McCourties is a good guess.
Who does the Twins Take podcast?
Yeah, they're both in media. That's
they
a
are.
Good guess by you, McCourties.
It is neither.
Oh.
Is it anybody we know from the players?
Looks like a couple of white guys.
Of course.
You ready for the About? Get ready for an exciting sports podcast that packs a double punch. Join us as we proudly present the Twins Take podcast.
Hosted by Chad and Chaw.
Two enthusiastic twins, Luke and Jackson, with their deep passion for sports.
Luke Jackson?
Luke and.
Former Oregon Duck?
Luke and Jackson. Not that Luke Jackson.
Gotcha.
Although Luke Jackson and Luke Ridenour are having a Twins Take podcast.
That would be funny.
Would be a P1 of that podcast.
Who are our fathers? Like, what would you call a Luke and Luke podcast?
I kissed my sister. The Super Bowl is next year, February 14, 2027. We plan on being there. How about my Cowboys, baby? Here they come. Coach is confident. Good vibes going into training camp.
As the coach of the Cowboys, never been confident in any other offseason.
I actually never had any confidence in Myles Garrett. He always looked like he was taking a dump in his pants.
Myles Garrett?
Or Jason Garrett. Thank you.
The
Jason
Clapper?
Garrett. Yeah.
How would that sit for our producer, who was a former Cowboy fan?
That's why I love this.
Watching his former team win a Super Bowl in his now current favorite team's stadium.
Chargers flame out. Herbert throws three picks in the first round of the playoffs again.
Dak's great.
Again. Wow. And the Cowboys get to a Super Bowl. What is the thought process for Jason Swigard?
You're mentally
torn.
You're
going back to your ex. You know that you are.
No. You're going to be like, Jerry's going to die soon.
You'll pretend that you're not going to do it, and then they're going to score a touchdown, and you're going to be in your Cowboy whitey-tighties going, yes!
I just can't fathom. And now my owner is not Jerry Jones.
No.
I cannot wrap my brain around ever seeing a team that I rooted for 88% of my life.
I thought you were going to go years there for a moment.
Come on. Don't do that to him.
I mean, I wouldn't. I thought you were going to.
But I didn't.
I know. I'm
weird
glad
assumption
you didn't.
By you. I can't fathom, even if I maintained I'm not rooting, to not feel anything if
the
they
feelings
won
don't
the
die.
Super Bowl.
If you date somebody for 30 years of dating,
there's going to be...
I would be pretty upset.
That might be a difficult Monday for me to come in the show.
If you might have
there
to
might
bow
be a
out.
Serious hangover.
Would you flip-flop? Like,
No.
You will never flip-flop.
When you make decisions that big in your life...
it's done. It's over.
You move on.
Now, what was the ultimate back-breaking, ditch-the-fandom thing that they did for you again? Was it just...
I don't think there was any one thing. It was just got to be the same repeat, repeat. You do some self-reflection. Go, what? Why?
Why am I doing this to
How
myself?
Many Knicks fans would not be at the parade if they were Jason Swigard?
How many Knicks fans did what Jason Swigard did and then did the flip-flop?
But did
half the parade?
All of them did.
I mean, Dolan's a jackass.
He's a horrible owner. He's always been a horrible owner.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Don't let's
James
not
Dolan
memory
is terrible.
No.
Remember Isaiah Thomas sexually harassing?
No. I'm talking about
against Charles Oakley.
It was the lies that Jerry Jones used to keep telling you that this roster he was like one. No, you're not. You're not close.
The difference is that Jerry Jones does more in the media than Dolan does.
He's a Barker. What's he supposed to? He's selling tickets.
Yeah.
Is he supposed to come out and be like,
think
we're about an 8-9
team this year. And that was the problem. He's the GM, too. He's...
Yeah. What do we think? Let's talk about this like he's not here.
But
Cowboys
no, if that were to
Bowl?
Happen, if they were to... If they were to...
Cowboys beat the Chargers
do
in the
that,
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's an all-timer. That's going to be my Super Bowl pick this year, by the way.
That's the funniest possible outcome, even though
I'm picking the Swag Bowl. I'm picking Chargers v. Cowboys Super Bowl.
Because I just won't believe anything he says right now. He's going to be emotionally devastated that he ditched the fandom.
Yes.
He couldn't just get through the crap like Andy Dufresne.
It was right there. You had 10 more yards to go. It was 2 years ago that you quit.
They had given you multiple Super Bowls and great seasons, and you left it because the old guy got nuts? That's going to devastate you.
I think it was more a reflection like I should have left like 5 years previously.
Yeah,
you
stayed too long.
That was sort of, what am I?
My owner ran Jim Harbaugh out, hired Jim Tomsula.
Chip Kelly.
And then hired Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
And I just was like, this sucks. But I stayed with it.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't won the whole enchilada, but we've had some really good seasons.
Been close.
Can you
knocking
really?
On the door.
Like, Dirt's going on over a decade since his team won the World Series. And they're incompetently run, by the way.
Yeah. I'm not quitting.
He's never going to quit.
I mean, I quit watching. But I'm not going to stop being a fan.
Sure.
Like, well, I'm not actively watching games.
I stuck with the Dodgers through the McCourt nonsense.
That's
which
what I'm
should
saying.
Have never happened.
You did that. The Dodgers were a dumpster.
Cowboys
forever.
Have given you more in your life than the Dodgers had
yes,
prior
have.
To their World Series run. Think yes. about prior to that, those World Series yes, titles.
Three Super Bowl titles in 4 years, was it, or five?
Three and four.
Plus, you saw some in the
early or late 70s.
Late 70s.
Plus some like 14-2 seasons with T.O. and Romo. And like, you didn't have bad football every year.
The Big Tuna?
Yeah, you had the Big Tuna.
Yeah.
Quincy Carter was awesome.
No.
Well,
I enjoyed all that.
He was
pretty
terrible.
Just got to the point where
I loved Quincy Carter.
He was just lying. He was just flat out lying.
Every owner is a liar. Our owner won't talk to our city council.
Yeah.
He might want to take our team from our city.
We never heard from the other one.
You know, punish Dame Lillard.
It's not Dame's fault. How dare you?
Damian Lillard is an angel.
I just saw that quote yesterday and I thought, oh, we got to throw that one out there. That's pretty solid. Look, what's a coach supposed to say? No, we're not going to win the Super Bowl this year.
What do you think, honestly? What's your real read on his emotional check if the Cowboys
I think
won
he
the
will
Super
pretend
Bowl.
That he's not caring and not rooting, and then the game will start and he will root for them to win. I don't think it's possible to. I think you can argue the ties are severed when times are good.
Yeah.
But when things get a little rocky.
The logo.
The logo's on the sidelines. They're taking the field for the Super Bowl.
Those turquoise pants come out
he's
of that
gonna
tunnel.
He's going to think of little Jason Swigard. What would little Jason think watching this game? Little Jason would be excited. He'd be jumping on the couch, throwing a ball around like Bart Starr.
Man.
You can't kill little Jason.
We might. Now,
Bart
dare
Starr
I suggest.
Was a Packer.
Yeah, what am I thinking?
Roger Staubach.
Thank you, Roger Staubach.
There you go.
Don't get in the way of a good rant. That was a good rant about little Jason, okay? Don't turn this on me because
you
you're conflicted.
Bart Starr. I'm like, what the hell does Bart Starr have
it can't
to
be
do
a good rant
anything?
If you get the names that wrong.
Yeah, it's all fine. Nobody cares anyways.
If this happens, and I don't think it will, you can be with Dan Orlovsky and...
Me and Dano. Me and Dano
Marty
laughing.
Schottenheimer Jr. or whatever his name is. I may have to put salt in the wound. Now, you know I'm a noted Cowboy hater.
You hate the Cowboys.
I do hate the Cowboys. I may have to rub salt in the wound and have Joe Fisher on the show that Monday.
We would have to do that.
Because it's just going to be...
I will be in bad shape that Monday.
Look.
Because there will be some...
I, too, have hated the Cowboys for my whole life.
A lot of extra Negronis being consumed at that
That's
point.
That's going to be a long Sunday night. I too hate the Cowboys. Part of my thought on this is just the joke of the show. That would be pretty funny. I actually am. I think they're going to be pretty good this year. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong many times before. If they win the Super Bowl, after all that I've said and then this conversation, mark my words now, I will go buy a Cowboys Super Bowl champion t-shirt and wear it not every week.
I
pull it out randomly, like once every 4 months,
I could
just
not
to show up.
You more
show up on a Tuesday.
Disgusting.
To piss you off, which would be funny.
I hate you.
And Swigart's anti fandom. I'm going to do that, and because I had the take, and if they end up proving me right that they win, of all the years they win the Super Bowl, the 1 year I say they're going to do it, and I do the ESPN First Take thing, I got to go buy a shirt.
So a listener tweeted us, if you can choose a team or choose to quit loving a team, you were never a real fan at all. And I think we may have asked this when he did this. What is the only acceptable time to quit a team that you have actively been cheering for
passionately for
30 years?
I disagree with the sentiment that you were never a real fan. I do think there are breaking points for people. My argument primarily is that you can sever those ties, but they don't die. They don't die.
But then you're not actually quitting the team.
No, you're now in a...
Like if the Blazers leave Portland,
I think people
will legitimately never root for the Blazers
Leaving cities,
NBA.
Leaving town is a little bit different for me.
But how many acceptable circumstances exist outside of that?
I think he was married for 30 years and he decided he wanted an open marriage. I think he decided that the spice was gone and he wanted to test the waters a little bit and see where this was going to take him.
But an open marriage is not a divorce. And also, you're still trying to sell me that you're
maybe they're still dating. Maybe they divorced. Now they're dating again.
But he's not dating.
If they win the Super Bowl, he'll be dating him again.
He's in a real serious relationship with Jim Harbaugh.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
He is gay for Harbaugh.
Nobody better than us!
No! Are you kidding? Body! He sees Herbert walking on the field. He's touching himself now.
That's my guy!
Mom's over here still making dinner at home. You're not telling me they're divorced. You're saying open marriage.
Oh, geez.
Well, Daddy's
Why
over here.
Why is Brad
here
over
daddy?
Again, too? Who's Brad? What's Brad doing here? That ain't Dad.
Mom, why is Quentin Johnston in our bedroom?
I got some more NFL stuff next on the Fan. Welcome back in, everybody. 8:46 on your Thursday morning. Open championship going on. We'll give you an update on the leaderboard here in a little bit. Magic Hat at the top of the hour. Don't forget that Binary Brewing and the Fan have teamed up for the only Fan IPA available for a limited time. Taste the Fan. Binary Brewing signature West Coast IPA. Go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location and ask them about their only Fan. So good, only the Fan and Binary Brewing can pull it off. Boom goes the dynamite. Some thoughts rolling in about abandoning your fandom, and does that make you a real or fake fan? this one's a little bit different, but this also leads into my thought process on this, because we've talked about it before. Somebody texted in 503-864-6326. If Portland gets a Major League Baseball team, I drop the Orioles. They've been my team since 1966. And I am of that opinion. I don't think it's going to happen.
But you don't. You root for Portland, but you always have an affinity for those teams.
This is my point. It wouldn't die. Yeah. Maybe over time it would. Maybe 15 years, like after 15 years of taking my kids to games, I'm sure that would be less and less and less and less. I would absolutely switch my allegiances because it's my hometown. I'm from here, and I've always dreamed of having a baseball team here. Doesn't mean I'm dead. The Giants are dead to me, and I wouldn't care. This is my larger point, is that I can say I'm switching my allegiances, but even in doing that, it would take a lot of time to wear that tissue down, if that makes sense. You can't just snap your fingers and pretend that every feeling you've had. We've all broken up with people before, some more amicable than others. But if there's any good memories in that relationship, it doesn't just end like that on divorce day. There's a very conflicted feeling. There's a mourning of the loss. There's a process to it. That's the only argument I'm making.
If Portland was an AL baseball team, I wouldn't follow, and I actually don't think I would buy the package anymore. But I'd still see Braves scores and go, hey, they're winning.
Hey, look at that. Good for the Braves.
Yeah. Now, here's an
But you would
question.
Switch your allegiances, too.
Well, I would just care far more about the Portland team.
Right, because you'd be going to games and you'd be attending it. We'd be talking about it.
We'd be interviewing the players.
It's also our city. We're from here. It's a little bit different.
Let's say it's 5 years in. You're a diehard Portland baseball fan. The Giants come to town. Are you...
You say in a Portland game, sorry?
Yeah.
I would root for Portland.
Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't wear Giants gear to the game. I would not be a native Portlander.
Are you going crazy when they score against the Giants?
Is it a playoff game? Yes.
No.
Is it a regular season game?
No. It's a crossover game.
No, I mean, I'll clap. I'll cheer. Literally. I'm not going crazy during regular season games.
It's Wednesday in the middle of July.
You're not getting a lot of crazy fandom behavior out of me, no matter the stakes of the game. I'm just not that kind of fan
in
public.
I think I'm Rob Lowe for a while.
Are you?
I think the Braves come to town.
Yeah.
The Portland team scores. Yeah.
You got a Rob Manfred hat on.
It's a home run. Yeah.
What's that? You got an umpire's hat on there? What's going on, man? What's that all about? Look, very controversial. I love that this is even a thought and it might happen. One other note, by the way, on the Cowboys, not to make this a first take hour of radio. George Pickens, the window to sign him to a long-term deal has closed. And the practical window for trading him has too. So he will play on the franchise tag this year. And hey, I'll say this. For a guy who has been criticized at times in his career about does he care, is he giving effort, having a guy on a one-year prove-it deal who's about to get paid next offseason might be a very good thing for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, you could lose him next offseason because you're already paying CeeDee Lamb, and they certainly haven't been willing to pay him yet. Couldn't come to an agreement on a deal. And incentivize George Pickens alongside CeeDee Lamb. Where does that rank in NFL wide receiver duos for you?
Oh, it's near the top.
Has to be top three, right? How many would you put ahead of it? Would you put Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua ahead of it?
Yes.
You would? Okay. Who else? Who's else in the running?
Well,
Jefferson and T. Higgins. Or not Jefferson. Chase and T. Higgins.
Chase and Higgins probably number one.
Yeah.
Where does the Steelers rank? Because they got DK now and Pittman.
Yeah. I mean, that's solid. I would take Dallas's crew over them.
You would?
I would, yeah. If you gave me the pick of the two, I'd rather have CD and George Pickens. Now, it might, again, only be for one more year, and he is gone next season. But just another thing.
You said Chase and Higgins?
Chase and Higgins is probably number one. I would take Puka over both guys in Dallas. I don't know how to your point, we kind of poo-pooed Devontae Adams a little bit last year.
What about Detroit with Brown and Williams?
It's a really good combo. I think I'd take Dallas's over him.
Williamson? Jameson Williams.
Williams.
God, I'm blanking right now.
The McDaniels.
Swack shaking it. What are you shaking your head? William
it's
or
Williams?
Yeah. That's what I thought.
The McDaniels, McConnells, McGonagalls. There's like so many names like that in the NFL.
Who has the worst wide receiving tandem? We always play who has the best. Who has the worst?
Quentin Johnston and Ladd McConkey. No, there's somebody worse than that.
Pretty bad one, dude. You know who's an underrated one?
Has to be with somebody worse than
underrated one for a team that absolutely blows chunks. It could be in the conversation this year.
Who, the Cardinals?
Correctamundo. Dikembe Mutombo.
Is Marvin Harrison Jr. going to finally do it?
I mean,
I saw a shirtless photo of him the other day.
Yeah. Woo. Turn you on or bad? Whoa.
Big guy.
Yeah, he's been lifting.
Big guy.
Michael Wilson came on big time last year at the end of that season.
Who else could be in the running for this? This is a fun game to play. Who are Cleveland's top two wide receivers right now?
Good question.
Play that fun game.
Well, they have, Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, that's true, Jerry Jeudy.
Now, who's opposite Jeudy?
Who's the other guy there? Who else are they throwing to?
Great question.
How would you feel, by the way, speaking of the Browns?
Oh, they just drafted Casey Concepcion.
That's right.
So we got to kind of do a waits and see.
Dude, you got to give me a month to go over all the rosters, okay?
Oh, I'm going to buy a magazine.
My head's been
in
a soccer bubble. You're making me watch sports I don't care about. I need some time here to re-educate myself. How would you feel if your son benched you in fantasy football? Because that was a clip. I'm not watching it.
I actually understand it.
There's clips coming out of the quarterback documentary that have been pretty funny. I don't know if I'm going to watch it or not. But there's one of Baker Mayfield talking trash that's pretty good. His back and forth. Jalen Carter spit, remember, on opening night on Dak Prescott. And he had some, spit on me, Jalen? He's yelling that at him. There's a great Joe Flacco punking Shador Sanders clip about wearing a visor and how there's no practical purpose to it. You're just doing it for looks. And Shador's like, no, I'm not. He's like, yeah, you are. I was young and wanted a visor one time too. But probably the highlight of the clip so far is a mic'd up Joe Flacco's kid saying, man, I hope dad doesn't go off today. And mom leans over and says, why? And he says, because I benched him in fantasy football.
I kind of understand it. I wouldn't be offended by it. Like his kids are at an age clearly where it's a lot of fun.
Yes.
The conversations, the questions. You have to lean into that era, even if they're going against you.
Yes.
You know how much trash talk he got to make at his kid after that game probably?
Oh, dude, if he lit somebody up.
Shouldn't bench me.
You got to bench me again, buddy. Have a little faith.
An underrated one, as we revisit some of the NFL offseason, and all the fans of these teams are going to go, you idiots, don't remember that. Denver, Cortland Sutton, and now Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
Totally forgot Waddle had moved.
I forgot Waddle was in Denver.
Now, here it is. I think I have found the winner.
The winner of the best tandem or worst tandem?
Worst.
Worst tandem?
I dare you to find a worse tandem than Jalen Tolbert and Tutu Atwell. I can't. What team is that, by the way? Can you tell me the team?
Who does Tutu Atwell play for now?
Not the Rams anymore.
He's not in L.A. anymore?
Although the Patriots?
No.
No.
No. The Patriots? No, it's not the Patriots.
Is he in Miami now?
He is in Miami.
Miami.
Jalen Tolbert and Tutu Atwell are your outside threats.
3 years ago, they had Waddle and Tyreek Hill. We were debating, do you pay Waddle? And look at that 1-2 punch. And now that's your 1-2 punch?
Even if you don't
that
like
that has to be
both,
the worst, right?
A lot of teams at least
have
one.
Who are Tennessee's top two wide receivers?
Io Manner's got to be on there.
Yeah, and
right.
He's fine.
He was kind of the only one doing something.
He had how many receiving yards do you think Io Manner had last year?
Well, he was only the healthy one, right?
He played
500.
They had multiple wide receivers play 16 or 17 games.
Okay.
He had 515 yards.
He was the leading receiver, though, wasn't he?
He was not.
Who was?
Okonkwo, their tight end was.
Okonkwo.
With 560.
Maybe I just put Io Manner in the Okonkwo thing.
I don't know what they did in the offseason. I can't remember off the top of my head. Io Manner.
They have Ridley still.
Yeah, he had 300 yards in 7 games last year. Van Jefferson played the entire season and had 350. That's a pretty bad.
This is their projected
Tyler Lockett. Ooh.
Carnell Tate, who they just drafted.
Carnell Tate, touche.
Wandale Robinson, they signed from the Giants. Remember that?
I do remember that.
And they still have Calvin Ridley.
Okay.
Io Manner backs him up.
That's pretty bad. That's how you give your young quarterback weapons. That's the model right there. One last note, by the way, Patrick Mahomes saying he plans to play. The goal is to play week one for the Kansas City Chiefs. So he's hoping to be back off of his offseason surgery. We have a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Magic Hat, ready to go? I have not done my Open Championship peekaboo, so we'll do that at some point in the final hour of the broadcast. We'll play some more fun with audio from the great Argentina-England game yesterday, if you missed that earlier in the show. Let's get to the Magic Hat, though. That's next on The Fan.